Hi everyone, welcome to the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorced Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. So I am somebody who has a lot of anxiety. It runs in my family. I've just always been kind of an anxious person, but I do manage it well. And when I was going through my divorce, I had even more anxiety, obviously, because things, life changes can trigger anxiety. But I never had experienced a panic attack. And the first time I ever knew what a panic attack was when I was watching The Sopranos, when Tony Soprano was having a panic attack. And so these things are very real, they're very scary, and they do happen during a divorce. So I want to dedicate this episode to talking about anxiety and panic attacks during and after divorce, what the symptoms are, what causes them specifically, when you might get them, and then, of course, how to cope. I have a great guest to talk about this. Her name is Holly Herzog. Hi, Holly.
Hello, Jackie.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I want to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Holly has been a therapist for 30 years. And a few years ago, she decided to become a divorce coach. She's actually been divorced for several years, but decided to really hone in on this niche. And Holly developed this course called Stumble, Stagger, and Stand, which is an online e-course for people who are going through a divorce, and it's self-guided. So you can basically do it at your own pace. And I've watched a lot of it, and Holly, it's really a great course. And I'm so glad that people have the opportunity to do this course. So thanks for that.
Thank you, Jackie.
All right. So Holly wrote an article for Divorce Girl Smiling about anxiety during divorce and panic attacks, and that's kind of what we're going to go off of. So the first question I want to ask you, Holly, are what are the symptoms of divorce anxiety? Like what if somebody doesn't know if they have it or they have some symptoms and they're scared it's something else? So what are the symptoms?
Well, you know, divorce anxiety is an interesting term in and of itself. I mean, I think anxiety is such a normal part of going through a divorce. And so I'm going to talk about it from that place and not from a clinical diagnosis of anxiety. But many of the symptoms are actually the same. You know, if you are going through a divorce and you are feeling on edge and you are having trouble concentrating on any task, if you're feeling kind of emotional, irritable, having trouble sleeping, worrying a lot and thinking a lot of catastrophic thoughts about what's to come in the next few months, you might notice some physiological changes like stomach aches or increased heart rate or feeling sweaty and kind of just anxious all the time. Those are all symptoms of anxiety. And of course, you know, that's different than necessarily somebody who has a diagnosis of anxiety.
All right. So what you're saying is you might not have a diagnosis of anxiety and you might not have even really been an anxious person, but when you're going right. through a divorce, you can have all these symptoms and these signs.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
So you wrote here that panic attacks can occur without warning. So I think that I was under the impression until I saw The Sopranos that you would be sitting there worrying about something and then you would have a panic attack.
Yeah.
But from what I've learned, not just from The Sopranos, but
right.
you can have a panic attack when you're not even subconsciously worrying about something, right? I mean, you could just be
right.
doing anything and not even thinking about something that's worrying you and this could come on. Tell me about that.
Exactly. I mean, in fact, a lot of people that struggle with panic attacks will wake from a dead sleep with a panic attack. Basically, what a panic attack is a chemical change in your brain that increases your heart rate, and it can come out of nowhere. So If you've ever had one, you might notice that suddenly you feel like your heart is pounding, maybe you can't hear anything, like you kind of lose that sharpness to your hearing, and you may feel panicky, you might get sweaty, you might think you're having a heart attack or you're dying. And you know what's interesting about this was that I also come from a family with lots of anxiety. I mean, I have anxiety issues all the way back generations, and I've always struggled with it. But I never had a panic attack until I was going through my divorce, and it just happened out of the blue. And I only knew about panic attacks because I am a therapist, and so I talk about them, you know. But it was such a strange thing to have it happen to me. I recognized it at the time, what it was. Which helped me relax about it. But it was scary. I mean, it really felt like my body was out of control.
That would freak me out. I mean, it would upset you. I would probably have gone to the emergency room.
A lot of people do. I mean, it's a very common call that 911 gets, and a very common call that medical workers deal with when they come into your home. It's a panic attack, and it can feel like the symptoms of a heart attack. So the good news is that it's not untreatable. It is treatable, and it doesn't cause any damage that's irreversible, like a heart attack. So a panic attack is just a sign that something in your system is off that you need to manage. And there are lots of things that you can do to manage it. A lot of people do see their doctor and get on an antidepressant, which also manages anxiety, or there are physiological things you can do. So definitely, if panic attacks are something that you're struggling with, go see a therapist, go see your doctor, get some support, because it is a miserable way to try to live.
All right, so we are going to talk about some of the coping strategies for anxiety, and then, obviously, if you get help with the anxiety, your chances of having a panic attack go down. But I want to mention something about the medication because I think this is important, and I've said this a lot. When you talked about going to your doctor and getting on antidepressant, anti-anxiety meds, been there, done that. And I want to tell my listeners that there is no shame in it. I have been on Lexapro twice in my life. Each time was for a year. Once was during my divorce, and once was during COVID because I'm a hypochondriac and I was extremely worried right at the beginning. And I went back on it. It was very helpful. It's not a thing that you have to be on for life.
No.
And there's no shame in it whatsoever. And I remember I have like the best mom in the world. And I remember calling her and crying and saying, I don't want to go on this. It's embarrassing. And my mom was like, well, if you have a broken arm, you go to the emergency room and you get your arm fixed. And this is no different. So what I want to tell my listeners, and I'm sure you're going to agree with this, Holly, is that you have to take care of yourself physically. And you want the happiest, healthiest life possible. And if that means medication for a little while, no big deal.
I absolutely agree. And there's medical and scientific research to support that, Jenny. Daniel Amen has done a lot of brain scans and studies on medication and the brain, actual scans of the brain on medication. And his belief is that if brain chemicals get off, you can be on a medication for 2 years, and often that will reset your brain chemistry to know that that's the level it needs to be at. So there's a lot of supporting data out there that says that, we can get our brains off kilter for some reason, but we can change them with medication and with other tools. So medication's not the only option, but it's certainly nothing to be ashamed of. And like you said, if you had something else physically wrong with your body, you would expect to treat it. And your brain's no different.
Wow, so I didn't even know that about the study, so maybe that's what happened to me.
Yeah, might be.
You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, Holly Herzog, who is a therapist and a divorce coach. And Holly is the creator of her course, Stumble, Stagger, and Stand, which is an e-course that is self-guided that you can do during your divorce. We are going to take a little break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about some of the things that might be stressing you out during your divorce and coping strategies for anxiety and panic attacks. We'll be right back.
Are you considering mediating your divorce? If so, I want to recommend a team of mediators, Ellen Feldman and Brian James of CEL and Associates. I have known Ellen and Brian for 10 years at least. They are really, really good people who are passionate about helping people get divorced quickly and inexpensively. Brian is a parenting coordinator also. Ellen is a former litigation attorney, and they are just a wonderful team, and I would really recommend them. You can find them on Divorced Girl Smiling under Trusted Partners or at CELandAssociates.com. I also want to mention Affiliates in Counseling, which is a therapy practice with several therapists, all with different niches, and they specialize in helping men and women during and after divorce, and also children whose parents are going through a divorce, and family therapy, which is all together. I have known the co-founder, Jason Price, for several years. He's an amazing therapist himself, but I know a few of the other therapists, and all of them are wonderful. So affiliatesincounseling.net, or you can find them on Divorced Girl Smiling under Trusted Partners.
Welcome back to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast. This is Jackie Pilisoff. I'm with my guest, Holly Herzog, a therapist and divorce coach, and the creator of her course, Stagger, Stumble, and Stand. So I've been saying stumble, stagger, and stand, but it's actually stagger, stumble, and stand. I don't know why I can't get that right. But you can find her e-course on Divorced Girl Smiling under Trusted Partners. Just go to Holly and her page and it'll be on there. Or you can go to her website, which is called graceuntethered.com. We're talking about some of the reasons why you might have anxiety and panic attacks during your divorce. And Holly and I are going to go from personal experience. I mean, you don't need experts to talk about what's stressing you out in a divorce, right. But Holly right. and I both went through a divorce. So tell me mm-hmm. a couple things, Holly, that were stressing you out during divorce.
Well, for me, I had been married for 22 years, so I hadn't been on my own really as an adult. And I hadn't, you know, I had skills in managing my own household and those sorts of things, but I hadn't made decisions independently as an adult. And that was scary, like to make decisions for myself and my nearly grown children about where we would live and, you know, how to budget my own money and, you know, all of the things that go with, you know, running a household and having kids. So that was stressful for one of the things that was really stressful for me. The other thing is I hadn't dated. I mean, you know, I married my high school sweetheart. So I had never dated as an adult. And that was stressful. The thought of, I don't know how to meet people and I don't know how to date, you know? So those were things that were on my mind, along with a million other changes.
You hit it on the head. I think change is the scariest part because nobody really likes change. We're uncomfortable with it. It's scary. Right. And for me, when I was getting divorced, I wasn't just scared about dating. I was afraid I was going to be alone forever. I mean, so that's another fear. And then I had young kids. So if anybody's listening to this and you're getting divorced and you have young kids, you suddenly have to become the leader of your household and make all these mm-hmm. decisions. And you're there. You're the one at 3 o'clock in the morning deciding if you should take your kid to the emergency room. That's pretty right. scary stuff. It is. So, you know, also maybe some other fears. You're thinking you're going to lose friends. You're thinking your in-laws aren't going to talk to you anymore. Yeah. Maybe finances. maybe the divorce process itself. So,
oh, that's incredibly stressful.
Yeah. So there's all these things that I think are so scary and that cause anxiety, even in people who don't really have anxiety.
Right.
And you could wake up in the middle of the night and, like Holly said, you're subconsciously thinking and worrying, and it could cause a panic attack. I want to move on to some of the coping strategies for anxiety and panic attacks after a breakup or divorce. So the first one you wrote, Holly, is work on managing stress with exercise, meditation, journaling, healthy eating habits, and limiting caffeine.
Yeah. I mean, really, you know, this is such a common sense thing, but one that's so easy for us to forget. We have to take care of our brains and our bodies. And that's the bottom line for you getting to a place where you're feeling happier and healthier. It's like you've got to be able to manage the extra stress. When you're stressed, your brain is producing extra cortisol. And cortisol is coursing throughout your bloodstream throughout the day. And our bodies aren't very efficient at getting cortisol out of our bloodstreams. And especially as we age. So middle-aged women are more challenged with getting cortisol out of their system than a younger person. So one of the few ways that we can get it out of our bodies is through sweat. And when I say exercise, I mean you need to sweat for 30 minutes. And so, you know, doing that will allow you to sleep better. And doing that will have you feeling stronger and more in control of your life and healthier. And I think meditation is another one of those things that's just a way to quiet your brain, to practice having fewer thoughts necessarily, because when I meditate, my brain sometimes is all over the place. So it's not an absence of thought, but it's just a constant practice of returning to your breath and return to your body, and knowing that your brain can do whatever it needs to do to keep itself entertained, but you can trust that your body, that you can tune into your body, and that you can calm yourself and you can slow your heart rate. Those are really important, you know, basic kind of no-brainer tools that you can apply here.
I love everything you're saying, but I want to make a point here to the listeners, because this might all feel overwhelming. So when Holly is talking about all these things, we don't mean that you have to start working out and sweating for 1 hour every single day or meditating every day. I'm talking about a little bit at a time. So if you don't have time to exercise one day, go take a walk for 10 minutes. In fact, Holly, I'm having one of those days where I'm so swamped that I didn't get to work out this morning. And you just motivated me. I'm going to do like a 15-minute little video class just to do something today.
Perfect.
All right. So we're not saying you have to go crazy with meditation or working out. Just a little bit. And do something every day. Like, I like to think of it now as telling your body, I love you and I need you to work for me. So I'm going to reward you with something every day, whether that's 15 minutes of meditation, or maybe you have time to work out for 45 minutes or an hour. But if you don't, it's okay. Just do something. And also feed your body healthy foods.
Yes.
You know, love your body enough to say, I'm going to give you a smoothie with greens and berries and flax seeds or whatever.
And limit the alcohol. I mean, I think a lot of people, you know, think that having a glass of wine or two or three at night helps them sleep and helps them deal with their stress. But it doesn't. It actually creates more problems for you, because it interrupts your sleep cycle. It causes spikes in your blood sugar that wake you up in the middle of the night, and you're not helping yourself relax. You're exhausted, and so your brain's being numbed, but you're not coping with the feelings that you're having.
It's such a temporary fix, and I'm not judging, because I love a glass of wine if
Me
I'm
too.
Feeling stressed. Yeah. But, you know, also you can stop at one. Like, I have a really good tip for people. If you feel like you're drinking too much and you want to stop after one, here's my suggestion. Let's say you're home and you're drinking some wine and you had a glass and you really want another one. I would say put some hot water in your tea kettle, put it in a glass with a splash of lemon, with to squeeze a lemon in there, and switch to that. And I promise you, you will find it is very soothing. And then you'll just be enjoying your buzz of your first glass of wine, and you'll feel so much better, and you're hydrating yourself with the water.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. I like that.
Let's move on to number two, to the tips for coping with anxiety and panic attacks. Develop a support team of divorce professionals who will provide guidance and peace of mind.
Yeah, you don't have to do this alone. You might feel like you're really alone right now because everything's changing. And because, if you've been married for a long time, you've built a support network of people that are married, and they're probably not people who have dealt with what you're dealing with. So, getting some people that you can talk to that understand what you've gone through, either divorce coaches, therapists, friends who've been divorced, maybe a support group that has gone through it, will really help you feel like you've got a team. And if you have a good, legal consultant, then you have somebody that can catch you on things that you might miss. Because if you're like I was when I went through my divorce, my brain was not firing well. I couldn't make decisions about what to buy at the grocery store, much less how to manage my retirement
Right, you
decisions.
kind of feel like hazy, like you're in a
Yes.
fog and you're not a great decision maker. So, you
Right.
know what, Holly, you're right. Let other people help you make the decisions, and that means surrounding yourself with a really good team, meaning make sure you like your divorce attorney, but somebody just told me that's only 10% of your divorce. The
Yeah.
rest is get a divorce coach like Holly, or make sure you love your real estate agent if you're getting divorced.
Right.
Financial planner, mediator, all these people can help you. And if you need the support, I just want to do a shameless plug for the Divorce Girl Smiling support groups. So, the Divorce Girl Smiling Club is a support group and it's small. It's on Zoom 1 hour a week, only for 4 weeks, and you can get support from other divorced women. And to find that, go to divorcedgirlsmiling.com and go to the DGS Club tab. All right, number three, allow yourself the time needed to mourn the loss of your marriage.
I think a lot of people think they just need to get through it. You just got to get through the divorce and you'll be fine. But we all have a lot of emotion around divorce, even if it's something that you're initiating and you're wanting, because there are a lot of positive memories associated with this relationship. I mean, at some point, you love this person enough to build a life with them. So you're going to have losses. And it's really important to let yourself grieve and to move through that emotion and not keep yourself so busy and distracted that you can't feel things.
And I never like when people say, I just need to get through this, because
Right.
I really believe that even in the toughest times of your life, there are joyful moments, and you have the gift of experiencing those too. Especially, like, let's say you're listening to this and you're getting divorced and you have 2 young kids, like I did. And I feel like I didn't enjoy my kids during that time because I was so focused on the divorce and how much I was hurting that I
Yeah.
didn't just allow myself to experience any joy, or I shouldn't say any, enough joy during the day. You know, your life is still good, I promise.
It will be, and it will be when you get through it. And that's
Absolutely.
important. It's important for us to remember that. I think
But
that's a
while
really
you're
great
getting
point.
through it, make
Yeah.
sure to enjoy some of the day every
Right.
day.
Right. Which is the next thing that I talk about
Yeah,
in the article is you
exactly.
need to expand your social network and you need to try new things. And there's actually, again, brain science for why that's helpful. When we have new activities that we do, we create endorphins in our brain, and endorphins are the things that feel good. So doing new things and trying new things gets you out of not only the reminders of your past and, you know, feeling sad that you can't do something you love to do with this person that you're now divorcing, but it creates, you know, all this feel-good energy in your brain that makes you feel better. And building a new support network is another, or new social network is another important thing, because you will make new friends and you get to be yourself, you know, not the person that everybody from your past necessarily knows and knows you with your partner and all of that, but you get to be yourself. And that's really a gift.
I just love that. But also, this is just like what we were talking about with the exercise and meditation. You don't have to go crazy and sign up for 10 activities and meetup groups and all this stuff. Try one thing. Just set goals for yourself and say, this week, I am going to look into one thing. That's all you have to do. You don't have to go crazy. Just one thing. Reach out to one friend, set up a coffee date, or look into paddle lessons. Everybody's playing paddle right now. Look into taking a lesson, one lesson, see if you like it. Anything, but just do something, one thing. You deserve it, and it will lead to more things, and it will really get your mind off of your divorce.
Well, I think the other thing that we didn't really talk a lot about, but I imagine you felt, Jackie, as you were going through yours, is that when your kids are spending time with their other parent, it's really nice for you to have something on your calendar so that you're not sitting home and feeling sorry for yourself or moping or filling your time with all of the tasks that you need to do. You also need to have some fun. So plan something fun and social during that time.
And don't feel guilty about it either.
No. It's going to take you some time to build that new social structure.
Absolutely. Last one, number five, give it time.
Yeah, you know, it takes a long time to go not only through the legal process, but through the emotional journey of a divorce. And, you know, you can't skip through it and not feel things and expect to come out the other side healthy. It's going to take you some time, especially if you're allowing yourself to grieve and to build a new life and to really healthily move on.
So for my listeners, I am somebody who has no patience and I am constantly working on having more patience. And this is what I think we're talking about. This is a whole process that's going to take a long time. So just put on your seatbelt and give it time and be patient. And I understand that it's not easy to be patient, but life is going to continue to get better and better, and you're going to have some setbacks, and you're going to have some days that seem hopeless, but you're also going to have some really good, empowering moments and moments of joy that you're going to not even know even existed. What do you think, Holly?
Absolutely. I think the future is bright. And we just don't know when we're going through a divorce what our future is going to be. And that's really anxiety producing.
Absolutely. What a great way to end the podcast on such a positive note. Holly, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I so appreciate it.
You bet, Jackie. Thank you for having me.
Tell my listeners where they can find you and where they can find Stagger, Stumble, and Stand.
You can find me at graceuntethered.com. My name is Holly Herzog, and my course, Stagger, Stumble, and Stand, was done by myself and another therapist. And it's a video course. It's easily downloadable and accessible right now.
Love it. And I've actually talked to a couple people who have done the course who have told me it's absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Please have hope. Please give it time. And please manage your stress and anxiety. It's so good for your health and so important for you in moving on to a happier, healthier place. If you want to learn more, read more articles, watch videos, listen to more podcasts, come see me at divorcedgirlsmiling.com.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you real soon.